Hey guys!
Welcome back to Faith on Fleek. It's Cadence Melville
and Cooper McFessel,
and we're your hosts. So today we have a very special guest who's my beautiful best friend, Skyla Cope.
Hi guys!
We're so excited to have Skyla here with us. Skyla is also a member of our Ridge Students Youth Group, and we're super excited to have her here with us today. You want to introduce yourself a little bit or just kind of tell us a little bit about you?
Okay, well, as y'all already heard, my name is Skyla, and I'm so very excited to be here with y'all. So I have been attending church here at the Ridge for my entire life, and I've loved every second of it. I am into all the things of music, and I love to paint, and just my desire is to worship the Lord in every aspect of my life, no matter what I'm doing. And I'm so excited to talk to y'all today.
Yes.
Wonderful.
We're so excited to have Skyla today. But so actually, I had Skyla pick our topic this time. And before we get into it, I have a question for you. So how did you come up with this topic?
So this has just been something that's been hard-pressed on my heart for a little while now. And it's just been something that I've been talking to people about and something that the Lord has been revealing to me even in certain situations of my life. And then as soon as you texted me and you asked me what I wanted to do, I kid you not, I was like, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. And because I've been wondering, like, Lord, like, why are you showing me this? Why are you telling me to read this? I feel it was all in preparation and all in his timing for doing this today.
I love that.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Do you want to introduce our topic today?
Okay, so our topic today is the response to ruin. And it's basically how us as Christians should respond to difficult circumstances and situations in our lives.
Period. I love that. I'm so excited to talk about this. So, Skyla actually typed us some notes to follow along with her because she's like the main portion of our episode
yes.
this week.
So Skyla's going to kind of like guide our conversation. We're going to add our input into it as felt necessary.
Yes. So if you can start wherever you want to.
All right. So one of the like most amazing stories for this topic that has stuck out to me was the story of Job. As we all know, and I hope you know, that this story is a story of a very rich man who was very blessed by the Lord. The enemy appeared to the Lord from going to and fro on the earth. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Satan answers the Lord and says, "Does Job fear God for no reason?" The enemy expected for Job to curse God and die. If the Lord were to take away his blessing, everything was taken from Job. His children, property, and health were all taken. We all go through hard things, but what will we do with our circumstances?
That's good.
And so we can see in the first parts of Job that he got many heavy messages of loss and heartache that came to him one after the other very quickly. And even in the first chapter of Job, it continually said, while he was yet speaking, while one messenger was sent to Job, the other one came with some more hard news. And I feel that we can typically see that in our lives a lot of the time where we're going through things and then, oh, it's just another thing added on to it and we have this heavy thing. So what will you do when a heavy message comes your way?
That's really good.
Yeah. That's definitely something that you have to contemplate. And I think like you have to prepare the answer to that before you actually get in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you're like when you ask that question, I'm thinking like, well, maybe like right now, like, and I feel like whoever's listening, this can relate. Like the more we get into this topic to if you're going through a hard time or even if you're not, because like if you're going through a hard time, you know, you can think about like, how am I responding to this? But even if you're not going through a hard time right now, like you might in the future. And so like, even now is a good time to like consider that question and kind of like decide,
yeah,
what am I going to do when I get there? That's very good.
Absolutely. I mean, you should always be considering the Lord in everything, even when you're not going through a difficult time in your life, to prepare you for these things so that you can hold fast to your faith and even in the difficulty. So what will you choose to do with the circumstances at hand? Will you let your response glorify God and be the evidence of your relationship with him to those around you? Or will you choose the easy way?
Mm-hmm.
Job chose to fall on his face and worship the Lord. You have to bless them in everything,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, no matter how hard it is. You choose, God, right now, I look at this and I see that even though it's hard, you are in it all. And I'm choosing to give you the glory and the honor with it because my life is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I even find it interesting, and I don't know if you have this in your notes, so I don't want to like get ahead of you, but like his wife tells him to just curse God and die. Were you going to bring that up later? Okay, I won't get into it then. But I find that interesting. But I'll let you say what you want to say about that later.
Something I like stuck out whenever you said that is like, I feel like so many people like, they don't want to follow Jesus because like everyone says like, oh, God lets these things happen to me and he still loves me. But I feel like a lot of people don't believe that. And they're like, how could he love you and let that stuff happen?
Yeah. That's so funny because I was actually listening. Me and Jared, that's my husband. He was on our last episode. We were watching this video today. He loves watching these some of these videos like it. I can't remember what the channel is called. But they'll do like these videos where it's like one Christian like – or no, not one Christian. It was one atheist
mm-hmm.
who was like – doing like a debate, I think with like 25 Christians. And so like the atheist would like say, okay, here's my claim about why God's not real. And then the Christians could like take turns coming up and like talking to him.
I've seen that.
And his first thing that he said was like, some of my proof that God is not real is that like, if there was such a thing as this loving God that you believe in, then why is there suffering in the world?
Mm.
And it was interesting hearing what he was saying about that. But me and Jared were just sitting there talking about like, just because we go through tough things in life doesn't mean God is not real. And it doesn't mean God doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through difficult things in life because, well, one, because sin is in the world. And so like, you're just going to, but also there's times when the Lord allows us to go through things because it allows us to be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know, the Bible talks about that. And so definitely, you know, it's crazy to think that the Lord would allow all these things to happen to Job and even like encouraged Satan to take these things from him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see as we get more into the story that it was in order that he would be perfected.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you can even see in Job chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That even when the Lord allowed Satan to take these things from Job, he still was blessing God in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what, even the closed door or the closed opportunity is a blessing from God. And in fact, sometimes it's even more of a blessing because it's protecting you from what you could be getting yourself into,
mm-hmm.
which you have no idea which, but God knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we may look at things and be like, oh Lord, why are you doing this? In reality, he has a perfect plan for everything in a time and a season.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wrote in my notes is, while despair is yet speaking, what will your lips be speaking? You have to guard your lips when you're in an emotional state. It says in Job chapter 1, verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Yeah.
Even after everything, after his all was taken, because back in those days, everything he had signified his wealth and mm-hmm. his well-being. So essentially, his whole life was taken away from him except for his wife.
Yeah.
But even then, there was still like difficulty in his wife and his friends. And you can see this in my next little point that I have, which is the power of an unexpected response. Everyone around Job expected him to curse God and die. People may not understand. However, keep holding fast to your faith. They expect you to choose easy. However, we must die to expectation. We can't look at things and do things just because people expect us to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we were to do that, we would fall so deeply into sin.
Yeah.
And completely separate ourselves from God.
Yeah.
And that's just something that stuck out to me so much, is because his wife, the one he was supposed to trust and love the most, looked at him and told him to give in.
Yeah.
Told him to choose easy. Easy is never an option, no matter what facet of life that is.
Yeah. That's totally true. And I think like we live even now, like we live in such a culture, I feel like, of like complaining and like, you know, just kind of griping about everything. I feel like that's so a part of just what is normal, even for a lot of Christians. Like your natural response when you're going through something is just to complain about it or like gripe about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's expected of you. I actually like wrote a post on Facebook a long time ago, and I wish I had it with me right now. I don't remember exactly what it said, but something along the lines of like, do what people don't expect you to do and let them be uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
Like if someone comes to you and they're griping and complaining and all the, and they're griping and complaining and, you know, being negative, and you say something positive back, like, I know from experience that makes people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes people feel awkward when they're wanting to like gripe and complain and you choose to be positive. And I put in that post that I wrote, like, let them be uncomfortable. Like it's not your responsibility to try to make people feel comfortable just by doing what they want you to do or giving into what's expected of you. Like as Christians, we're supposed to go against the expectations of society.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're going to make people uncomfortable. Like it probably was bothering his wife that he was sitting there just like, you know, acting like nothing was, or not acting like nothing was wrong, but just like praising God anyway. And it honestly, it probably convicted her. Like when you think about that, she probably felt a little bit of like, the fact that he's doing this makes me feel really bad about myself, because she had these thoughts of like, well, how could God allow something like this to happen? But when he was sitting there not cursing God, it probably made her feel bad. And that's probably why she was like, just curse God, because then that would justify her own feelings, which is a lot of times what happens with people, I feel like, around us. When we're going through a hard time and we don't give in and we don't just complain and gripe about it, it probably makes them feel a little bit of conviction about how they're acting.
Yeah.
Which is why they don't want you to be positive and continue to worship.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. With everything we do, there's a chance that people are not going to be pleased, no matter what it is that we decide to do. This is why we cannot allow the fear of man to operate in our lives. And this is something that I wrote in my notes the other day. The fear of man is fearing the human consequences of obedience rather than the divine consequences of disobedience.
Mm.
We can't fear the consequences of being obedient to God.
Yeah.
Rather than fearing the consequences of disobedience to him.
Yeah.
However, I will say, don't be so focused on the disobedience part to where you're like just saying, oh, I have to do this because I have to. You do this because you love him. It says, whoever loves me will keep my commands. And that's not necessarily like making sure, yes, you have to keep yourself in check, but also that's what happens in the sanctification process of things. The Lord will purify you, but also you have to let him do that.
Yeah.
And along the lines of what you said about making things uncomfortable, something that I wrote a long time ago is you're going to have to stretch yourself. When you step out of comfortability and make yourself available to what God wants you to do, it brings a new level of eligibility for what he's calling you to do. When you become obedient, he will put you in a greater place and move you to a greater position so that what you've been praying for will come to pass.
Mm, yeah.
When you step out of what you're comfortable in, it gives you room to grow higher, because a lot of the time we've put ourselves in a box so much so that we can't grow.
Yeah.
And we're shaping ourselves into this thing that we were never meant to be.
Yeah. You don't, and Job had the opportunity to do that because he was taken out of what was comfortable for him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was surrounded by everything that he wanted, everything that was good, everything that made him comfortable. And after that was taken from him is when he probably, like, more than ever before in his life, understood true reliance on the Lord and true worship, because it can be easy to worship our circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, and not realize it. But, mm-hmm. like, there's so many times when I say, like, in worship or when I'm praising God because of all the things that I have or because of what he's done for me, and all that's good, and I should praise him for that. But I can't only praise him because life is, like, what I want. And in that case, you're just praising your circumstances. You're not actually praising God. And I don't think that you can understand that until you're taken out of everything that makes you comfortable, mm-hmm. which is what Job is experiencing in this time.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have to go through a drought season to realize how much you need to be watered, how much mm-hmm. you desire to mm-hmm. grow, and how can you, you're in this season of drought, but you're also in a season of darkness. Plants need the light to grow. And we have to realize that we have to be dependent on the light, be dependent on the one that waters you, the one who prunes you, who is the gardener of your life and your heart. It's mm-hmm. not just about, like, yes, they're refining, but he also has to cut those things off of you. And that may be painful sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but we yeah. have to respond in such a way that allows him to do that.
Yeah. yeah.
Let him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, another thing is, like, I feel like people don't realize is, like, when God puts us through things, like, he'll get you through them. Like, mm-hmm. when you rely on God, he will get you through them. Like, it's not like you're losing your hope or anything. Because, mm-hmm. like, when I think about it, like, the things I've been through, I feel like it's his way of showing me his goodness and his love mm-hmm. instead of, like, him making me suffer. Because in the end, like, I'm not suffering because I have Jesus.
Yeah, that's very yeah. good. That's very true. Like, he really is all you need.
Yeah.
And once you realize that, there's no greater gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes losing everything could be the best thing for you.
Yeah.
To realize that you need him the most. I like that. That's mm-hmm. very good.
Yeah.
And I was going to add also something I thought of, that, like, when you talked about stepping out of your comfort zone and being obedient, that takes you to a new level of eligibility to do what he's called you to do, and that, like, increases you, actually. Like, Job proved that, like, what God claimed about him was true.
Mm.
You know? Like, God claimed that Job would worship him no matter what, because he knew that Job's heart was pure and Job's heart was right. And through that trial, he was able to prove that he really was who God claimed that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, God blessed him with double everything he had before and took him to a new level of increase. And, you know, you think, like, everything I have right now is, like, you feel so tied to the things that you have in your life, or the things that are making you comfortable, or the things that you're holding on to. But God has so much more for you. And sometimes the difficult things you go through just help you to be ready when he wants to bless you with double.
Yeah.
You know?
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Job felt the grief and the hurt of his loss. However, it's not always about what happens or what we have. It's about who we have on our side.
Mm.
And we must bless the one who is always in our corner, always fighting for us, always working things out. He works things out for the good of his children, no matter what. He desires to give us the desire of our heart, what we want, as long as it aligns with his will.
Mm-hmm.
And along the lines of what you said, like, it proved who Job was.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have to ask ourselves is, would you consider me? If the enemy was asking,
mm-hmm, yeah,
would the Lord consider me? Would my actions prove that?
Yeah.
And that's our reaction and our response. Would it prove,
yeah,
in the trial,
yeah,
that's who we are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's
so,
really good.
It's so crazy to think about.
Yeah,
because you're, like, sitting here and you're like, what would I have done in that sort of situation if everything that I've ever loved had been taken away to me? However, we must go back to our first love.
Yeah. Everything that you love is all temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And it cannot be tied to your love for the Lord.
That's right.
Because he is good and he loves to give good things to his children. I mean, that's the word. That's true. Every good and perfect thing comes from him. But he is not good because of the good things he gives us. He's just good because he is good.
Yeah.
And we have to, like you said, go back to our first love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Something that stuck out to me is your response is the evidence to other people of your faith. When in everything that I've done in my life and people just talking to me in conversations, they have said to me, like, I know who this person is because of how they acted during that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And like your response is the evidence of your faith. The way you handle your circumstances will show those around you Jesus and will reflect the light of love. And how we react is a crucial gauge of what's really going on in our spiritual lives. Because it says in the Bible, out of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're responding to somebody about something that's going on, or even if you're just in prayer with the Lord, because prayer is a response and it's the response you need to have.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you're just talking to the Lord about something, like, what are you saying about it? Are you saying, Lord, please take this away? Or are you saying, Lord, whatever happens, let your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I want what's your will and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's very good. Or even asking him, what can I learn from this? Or like, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to reveal to me? And that's something that you and me have talked about a lot. I'm looking at Cadence. I know y'all can't see us. That's something you and me have talked about and just some of the things that you've been going through lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I have told you that like the Lord has really put it on my heart very strongly that a lot of the things he's allowing you to continue to walk through, even though you feel exhausted with them, like are really just because like I said earlier, he's perfecting you through that.
Yeah.
And he's teaching you how to have faith and how to trust in him and how to realize that, you know, your reliance on him is not just because he makes everything easier, but your reliance is on him because he's with you even when it's not easy.
Yeah.
And so I think that like this is just, as we're talking about this, it's just making me think so much because I feel like this has been like really something that you've learned
A
lot about lately.
Yeah.
And grown in. Yeah.
So. He is always the fourth man in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
In the refining, in the trial, because a lot of the time the trial is the refining. But even when the fire kicks up and the situations get a little tougher, he's there in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's right.
He's there to protect you, to guide you through it. Because a lot of the times with the fire comes the smoke that tends to confuse you and make you a little unaware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He'll allow you, he'll let you, he'll guide you, he'll let you see when you don't feel like you can see anything at all. Because a lot of the time, we have to get everything that's in our peripheral vision out of there. It says in the Bible, don't look to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes completely focused on him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
If you're just focused on the situation and not Jesus, that's when you'll fall. That's when you'll choose easy. That's when you curse God and die.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's true. And that makes me think, which I was thinking about earlier, it's because if you read, Job is really long and it goes like chapters and chapters and chapters of him going back and forth with his friends who are like, you know, kind of like for a while they're like accusing him and saying like, well, you must have done something wrong and all this stuff. And like, just not really being super like supportive or like understanding or anything like that. And it's important, I think, super important, the voices that you're listening to and the voices that you have in your life when you're going through like a situation like this or a, you know, some kind of trial or difficult time. Because there's always going to be lots of voices around you who encourage you to curse God and die or who try to accuse you or say, well, this is your fault or like blame you for the things that you're going through. And you know what? Well, I'll pause that. I'll come back to that. There are two different kinds of trials that you can experience. And sometimes you experience trials just because we live in a sinful world and there are things that you have to deal with, or because of other people, or because of things that you have no control over. And sometimes you go through self-inflicted trials. And sometimes you do need a friend who will call you out and say, you're bringing this on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's truth. That's powerful. That's godly. And those are good friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to listen to voices when you're just going through something that's just life, people who are not going to discourage you or blame you or try to make you feel bad or try to encourage you to, you know, get down on yourself and all of that. So it takes wisdom to discern the difference, and you should be able to recognize what kind of trial you're going through.
Yeah.
But hopefully you have friends who will also help you to recognize what kind of trial you're going through and encourage you. And even if it is a self-inflicted trial, your friends should call it out and then encourage you, not just beat you down.
Yeah, that's right. And another thing that just like stuck in my mind was like, we as Christians, we should like try to praise God through everything. And we should also try to like show that to other people so it can be an influence to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just like stuck in my mind. Like we have to show who we want the world to be, if that makes sense. Like
yeah,
we have to absolutely. Have like a good, I don't know the words for it, but like we have to do good things and influence others like mm-hmm. how we want the world to be. So like, for yeah. example, we're wanting people to praise God through everything, so we also need to do that. Like, as Christians,
yeah.
we all need to do that so that we yeah. can maybe influence other people to do that as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. In a world full of darkness, we're the light.
Yeah, that's right.
However, your light can't be dim, because if you're just a dim little light in all the world of darkness,
it's not
nothing's going to attract
yeah,
to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, things are, you, people, naturally, animals, everything is attracted to the light. And the light isn't ourselves so that we can shine brighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's His light, the light of love, Jesus, reflecting through us to other people, not
yeah.
us
right
to people. And honestly, something that really hit me during Job was how it was talking, how his friends didn't even recognize him from what he'd went through. And something that I wrote is, when the struggle makes you unrecognizable, recognize who's there in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that He's there. You have to be fully dependent on Him. If you're not, you will fall.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and you can choose to be anxious about the situation, but in reality is, you have to look at Him and you have to know He's there with you and trust that He'll handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are doing it on your own strength, it's never going to work out.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, anxiousness comes from the root of fear, which is a lie of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're so focused on the truth, you have no room to be anxious at all.
Yeah, that's true.
That's part of what setting your mind on things above is. I'm sure that in all of these situations, Job was like thinking, oh my goodness, what was happening? However, we can choose to succumb to mm-hmm. fear and be in agreement with it even.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Or we can look at Jesus and say, here's my yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you giving your yes to?
Yeah,
good.
Are you giving your yes to fear?
Yeah.
Or are you giving your yes to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord will give you peace
and
joy and love and all the things that are of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
strength,
goodness, faithfulness.
Everything.
Gentleness, self-control.
Yeah.
Like it matters so much who you are running to.
Yeah.
Like He is the vine. We are the branches. We can do nothing without Him. Don't let yourself be cut off from the vine just because you're trying to grow somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times anxiety or fear, especially like when you're going through some kind of trial or difficult thing, that is rooted in you thinking that you're the one who has to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like I've dealt with lots of anxious thoughts and been through lots of times where I struggle with that in my life. And every time it comes back to, I am anxious about this because I think I have to figure it out and I have to handle it and I can't. Mm-hmm. So of course that puts stress on you, because if you give a 5-year-old an assignment to write an essay about, you know, some big concept they've never learned about, they're going to sit there and be like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, and mm-hmm. start freaking out probably, right? Because yeah. it's like, or maybe if they're 5, they would just like ignore you. I don't know. But you know, like if, or even if, okay, if I was put in a surgery room and they were like,
here,
fix this guy's heart, I'd be like, I can't do that. And they're like, well, you have to. Then I'd be feeling that anxiety, yeah. right? But in everything in our life, there's nothing that's just left up to us.
That's right.
Like, except for making the choice to leave it up to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that we have to do ourselves. And then be obedient.
Yeah.
But he will help us. He will help you through everything. So there's mm-hmm. there's no need to be anxious, because you're not the one who has to figure it out.
Yeah, that's right. And like being obedient is like a big thing. Like it's mm-hmm. hard, but like do it for yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
And I also want to say one thing. Like whenever you're talking about the light, it brought me back to whenever we were reading in John and what I said yesterday during our class, how, so I'm in John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36. And it says, so Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And 36, where it says like, you have the light, believe in the light, so you'll become sons of light. Like, that's like, just sticks out so much to me. Like, we have the opportunity to have the light, so we need to believe in the light to get the light.
Mm-hmm.
And like, exactly what Skyla was talking about, like, we as Christians are the light. Like, we need to be the light.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's very good.
All through scripture, it talks about walking in the light of mm-hmm. love. If your response is not full of love, then what is it of? Because if it isn't love, it's a lie.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You have to kick anything that isn't love out of your life, because even Jesus, when he corrects you, it's out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's a little harsh and you're like, oof, like, man, that was not right or anything like that. It's all in love, because he wants you to succeed. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be with him. You're his bride. He desires to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. this just stuck out to me. Romans 5. It's something that I've always loved and that I've looked at in the circumstances that I've had struggle in. Romans 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Everything that we do is to grow us, to produce character and hope. And you may be looking at this situation that is hopeless, when in reality, that very situation is going to be the thing that produces hope in your life.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good.
That's really good.
I'm so happy we're talking about this topic, guys. I just want to say that. I love
Cadence
it.
Cadence loves this verse. She talks yes. about it all the time.
Yeah. I love that. That's very good. The thing that makes you feel hopeless is what actually
Absolutely.
Leads you to have hope.
Yeah. Romans 8:18. The pain you've been experiencing can't compare to the joy that's coming. That's my favorite verse, Amen. Guys. I have it Amen. Written down and stuck on my wall.
Amen. But that's so good. That's very good. And that's true. And so I hope that if you're listening, that if you're going through a difficult time or you're experiencing something, that this has given you a little bit of encouragement. Maybe if you don't have those friends to encourage you, we can be
your friends
who encourage you and help you get
yes.
through those difficult times.
We love Listen. A good little buddy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up pretty soon, but is there anything else that you wanted to add or any other things to cover?
So it talks in the Bible about the choice between life and death. Mm-hmm. Every response that you have, everything that you do, every word that you say is a choice between life and death. The word says there is life and death on the power of the tongue. Be careful, because what you speak is what will happen. There's power in you say. So maybe consider the fact that if you're going through these things, what you've been speaking, have you been speaking death over yourself? In the middle of the circumstance that you're in, are you saying, oh, I'm never going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to make it. This is awful. No, in reality, you need to be speaking, I have the joy of the Lord, it is my strength. I am able to get through this. There is nothing that can harm me, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And it's something that has got me over and over again. Our yes to the Lord has to be unwavering.
Yeah.
And while emotions may rise and fall, and it may feel like a storm, Jesus is there to stay.
Yeah.
Peace, be still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In everything, to your mind, to your circumstance, everything that's going on around you that may be stressing you out, emotions are a storm. He is the calm in it.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the voice that cuts through the noise no matter what.
Yeah, that's so
and
good.
So if you keep anything from this, please know, be obedient no matter the cost, because he died for you and paid the ultimate price. So why would you not give him your everything?
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. And I like what you said about, Cadence is waving her hand. I like what you said about emotions, because the Lord actually has really dealt with me about this lately, and like showing me that you really do have the power to choose your emotions. Like, emotions are not something that has to control you, but like, I can wake up. It sounds so like idealistic, but it's not. It's real. I can wake up in the morning and feel like I'm going to be in a bad mood, and I can choose to not be in a like bad mood. Like, you can choose to have joy. You can choose peace. You can choose rest. Like, it really is possible, because when you set your mind on him, and when you get in the scripture and read truth, like, and like you said, what you're speaking into your life and over yourself has the power to change how you feel.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going through a difficult time, and I'm going to touch on this for a second, what you're listening to people speak over you too. If you're going through a sad time in your life and you're just listening to sad songs all the time, do you think you're going to keep being sad?
Yeah.
Probably so. And so it's important, the things that you're allowing people to speak over you as well, because when you're listening to sad songs about, you know, everything's awful in my life and things like that, it's just going to make you feel more like that.
Yeah.
And you're allowing those people to speak that into your life, even though they don't even know you probably, you know, like, you're putting that in your mind and what you speak over yourself. You know, I actually said this to you the other day, not that like Skyla was speaking bad things over herself. So I was just, we were talking about writing music, and I told Skyla, whenever you're going through a difficult time, I want you to write the opposite of what you're feeling. I want you to write, like, if you're not feeling joyful, write a song about joy and how the joy of the Lord is your strength. And while that may be difficult to do, that's what actually causes you to experience joy when you aren't in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what helps you get through the hard times. But that's so countercultural, because we want to just kind of wallow, like, and that's not how the Lord calls us to live.
That's right. And I want to add something, like, I feel like, I actually have two things, but like, whenever Skyla was talking about like how powerful our words are, like, I feel like so many people, like especially teenagers that go to teenagers these days, like, they just say so much stuff that comes out of their mouth that they do not realize like what it does to people and what it also does to them. Because like, I hear things all day, every day, like, I want to kill myself and like stuff like that. And I'm calling them out, because like, that's terrible. Like, you should not speak that over your body. Like,
yeah,
I used to, like, when I was stressed all the time, I would just say that. I'm not going to lie. I would say that. But like,
because it's become a common phrase that people say, even as a joke.
Like, but when you realize like how powerful your words are, like, you should not speak that stuff over your body.
That's,
and then like, another thing is like, you have the authority to like say, like, I have the authority to bring peace over my body. I have the authority, like, healing in the name of Jesus, like, so much stuff that people don't realize. Like, you have the authority to tell, like, your struggles, like, my anxiety, like, leave in the name of Jesus. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like people don't realize that either. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
You're so powerful.
You've got to give it your eviction notice. Jesus mm-hmm. already defeated the enemy.
Yeah.
He went through everything you're going through now on that cross.
Yeah. Mm.
Those things, he took the keys.
Yeah.
Take your right as his kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take your authority that you've been given. And like you said, a lot of the meaningless little phrases mm-hmm. that have been brought up have such a meaning behind them that we don't realize. We have to begin to realize that everything we say affects our lives,
mm-hmm. yeah.
affects our emotions, affects the way we think. Because if you sit there and you speak lies over yourself all day, you eventually will begin to believe them.
That's right.
What you speak is what you think. Input, output, everything you put into yourself is what's going out. Mm-hmm. And this is the importance of guarding our hearts and our ears, even in the day. Because like you said, even at school, there's so many things around us that are contrary to what we believe.
Yeah.
Counterfeit. Yeah. We have to put the filter in our minds, in our ears, and even over our own mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About what other people are saying. Like, Jesus, please guard my heart from anything that is not of you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, please protect me and purify my lips
mm-hmm. yeah.
so that nothing that comes out of them will be contrary to the love of Jesus that you have for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how can you minister to somebody if they've already heard you speaking things that are not true? How can you sit there saying things about yourself that you would never say to anybody else and expect them to believe what you're saying to them? How can you sit there and say, oh, I'm not beautiful. Oh, I'm not this. Oh, I'm not that. And they think you're so beautiful. But when you go and tell them, they've immediately distrusted you.
Yeah.
Because
they
can't believe what you say anymore.
Yeah.
You can't encourage somebody through a hard time when, or you can't sit there and say, I'm never going to make it through this. Like, everything is falling apart for me. I'm a failure. And then go try to tell somebody else, God's got you.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like, God's going to take care of this. Because then it's like, well, you don't think he's going to take care of you, and you think he's going to take care of me?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense, you know?
God is no respecter of persons. He's the same God for everybody.
Yeah.
No matter what you are, no matter who you think that they are,
mm-hmm.
we are all his kids.
That's right.
He loves all of us. And that's why our response matters, because just as how you would want to be treated, just how the Lord treats you, is how you should be treating the other
people. That's right. And something I want to point out about Skyla is, like, something I love about her that we talked about is, like, I don't remember when it was, but we were talking about, like, I was probably saying, like, oh, like, I look bad today or something like that. I don't know, something small. But Skyla, like, explained to me how she has these sticky notes above her mirror in her room, and they're just, like, encouraging things. And I think that's something, like, really amazing, and, like, something, like, a lot of people should start making, like, common and normal is, like, you, in the morning when you wake up, like, go and look at yourself in the mirror and claim good things over yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I am beautiful. I am smart. I got this. Like just absolutely. Good stuff like that. Because what you say will come true.
Yeah. In the same way that Cooper told me to begin writing songs that were the opposite of what I thought, you take that and you run with it in every aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moment the little lie pops into your head, you take something out and you write it so you can see it and it's tangible. Yeah. You make the truth tangible to you. And if you don't feel like writing it, look it up in your Bible because it's there too.
That's right.
You write down the truth because there is freedom in truth. The truth sets you free. In his presence, there is freedom and joy and liberty to anything that you're going through.
Yeah.
That's absolutely That's true. Right.
Our response is to oppose the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. This was very good,
guys. I love this. This might be my new favorite episode.
Cadence says that every time.
I do say that every time, don't I?
Yes. It's fine. It's okay. I'm happy. If they just keep getting better and better, that's great.
I do really love this topic. Everything. Aww. I'm really happy we talked about this topic, though, because I feel like this is something that, like, a lot of us have been struggling with, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even people I know at school are struggling with stuff. And I'm just glad that we got to address it today.
Yeah. Me too. Thank you so much, Skyla, for being obedient to the Lord and letting us talk about this and for being on the podcast.
Yes.
It was great. we'll have to have you back again sometime.
Obviously.
But thank you guys for listening. Let us know your thoughts. Anything that you want to add to our conversation, yep, you can put in the comments, or any questions that you have.
We're still waiting to do a Q&A.
Yeah. And we still have had no questions. I know. I don't think we've had any questions yet.
But it's okay.
So
we're keeping hope.
Yeah. Because we want to do a Q&A video so
bad. And I told you, your faith, girl.
If we don't get any Q&A, if we don't get any questions, we're going to make up our own questions. Yes.
We'll actually do that.
Yeah.
We'll actually do it. But yeah.
So thank you for listening.
Yeah. Is there anything else anyone wants to add?
Jesus loves you.
Yep, that's right.
That's true.
Forever and always.
Very true.
Unconditionally.
Yep.
Okay, well, hope you have a great rest of your day whenever you're listening to this. And we will see you next time. Bye.